This podcast is brought to you by the Village of Bedford Park, your home for business. Over 450 businesses strong and growing with a safe, reliable Lake Michigan water supply. Visit VOBPbiz.com and bring your business home to the Village of Bedford Park.
This is Chicago's all-news station, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM. Now, the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
WBBM News Time, 12:05. Good afternoon. It's great to have you with us for the Tuesday edition of the Noon Business Hour. I'm Cisco Cotto.
And I'm Chris Kreidel. We've got 42 degrees. The rain is moving to the east, and it's going to be very cold later today. And tonight, temperatures in the low 20s. The five-day forecast coming up.
The Noon Business Hour is presented by the Village of Bedford Park and also sponsored by GWC Law. Let's kick things off with an update of Wall Street. From Bloomberg, here's Elisa Parenti.
Cisco and Chris, things are really heating up on Wall Street. The Dow is higher by 183 points, or 0.75%, and the benchmark right now, 23,614. The NASDAQ is at 6,855, higher by 64 points, or 1%. S&P up 17 points, trading less than 1 point under 2,600. That is a gain of 0.67%. New records across the board if these gains hold. The Bloomberg WBBM Chicago Index higher by 0.5%. Earnings news is impacting some individual companies. Lowe's posted a big sales boost just for the quarter, but investors are not pleased with the home improvement chain's profit margin, and Lowe's shares are actually just reversing course. They were lower by about 1%, now fractionally higher. A bigger push south for shares of Campbell Soup. Yet another quarter, Campbell Soup saw its soup sales fall. Meantime, Hormel Foods is up in the green, gaining 3.5% after its quarterly results. The rush to find replacement housing after hurricanes has eased. According to the National Association of Realtors, sales of previously owned homes still jumped to a four-month high in October. Back to you, Cisco and Chris.
Thanks, Elisa. On today's Noon Business Hour, we are talking about the big media wars going on that could affect your holiday viewing later this week. And we're also talking about some economic numbers. Housing is doing pretty well. We'll see why.
And it's Travel Tuesday. Are there any last-minute airfare deals anymore? Also, mobile ordering is being used by more and more people, and that's creating bottlenecks at restaurants. All of that and loads more on today's Noon Business Hour.
The best daily deal in Chicago, the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
We are watching some major media wars that are underway today, and let's talk about it with Tim Hanlon, Managing Director at the Vertera Group here in Chicago. Dish and CBS, what's going on here, Tim?
Hi, Chris. It's the latest in a number of spats between network television operators and the programmers, and the very latest now is CBS disagreeing with Dish on carriage fees, and depending on who you ask, either Dish or CBS, there is an interruption in service. So if you are a Dish subscriber in Chicago or New York or Los Angeles, or Chicago or Dallas or Philadelphia, major cities, you are not able to access CBS programming via Dish Network.
Now, this looks as if it has some kind of a date requirement here. If you're looking ahead to the weekend, all the football games you want to watch, and you're a customer, wouldn't you want to be putting pressure on to get it resolved?
Yeah, there's obviously back and forth, and this is a negotiation more in the public than it is behind closed doors. And there's no doubt that extended pressure around something like a holiday and Thanksgiving Day football and SEC football during the weekend, et cetera, is part of that game. But my bet is that they'll settle sometime in the next day or so before that actually happens. But it's another piece of evidence between the contention between programmers and network operators for just increasing prices that, frankly, a lot of cable operators, satellite operators are trying to push back on.
Yeah. Describe for us the fees that are being fought over here. Who makes money how when this deal gets done?
Yeah, Cisco, it's a great question. It's really something in the industry known as retransmission fees. And the reality is that TV stations over the last decade or so have been able to charge for their signal. They're ostensibly free over-the-air received signals, but for cable operators and satellite operators, they include them in one's service package, and there's a fee, and those broadcasters, TV station owners, have been charging those fees to those network operators and using them as leverage for other channels that the broadcast entities might also have. For example, in CBS's case, they own CBS Sports Network, which is part of that leverage as well. So those fees keep going up, and you know, at the end of the day, these are TV station signals that are actually received for free via an over-the-air antenna. So that's where Dish pushes back and says, well, wait a minute, why are we being forced to charge $5, $10 for these TV channels when you can ostensibly get these for free via an over-the-air antenna? It's a big contest that continues to defy logic, and I think you're going to see more ugly spats like this play out in the months and years to come.
Another ugly spat, at least it looks like it's going to be. AT&T, Time Warner, the Department of Justice now says it's going to fight the deal.
Yeah, so a completely different plane, but obviously related into the bigger media world. And I think a number of people were surprised by the Department of Justice's pushback yesterday and fighting to kill this deal. But there are a lot of sort of moving parts to this. And yet again, this is also another sort of play in the public landscape of decisioning that may be best achieved behind closed doors. But suffice to say, the Department of Justice does not like the idea of a major programmer like Time Warner and a major distributor like AT&T combining potentially to harm consumers.
Tim, quickly here, is there any bit of politics maybe involved here?
Yeah, there is, and I think you want to keep an eye out for that. Let's put it this way. I think CNN, for example, has been used as sort of a political chip. I think the reality is that the Department of Justice feels that programming tied to distribution, things like perhaps like HBO, may be a bit more of a concern than, say, a CNN. But more to come on the story for sure.
All right. Thanks so much. Tim Hanlon, Managing Director at the Vertera Group here in Chicago. Up next, fresh numbers on sales and existing homes out today.
Cashing in with conversation. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
The report on existing home sales, also a reading on the national economy, tops today's data. Let's break it all down with the help of Gus Fauché, chief economist at PNC Financial Services, based in Pittsburgh. Gus, let's begin with home sales. An increase 2% more than expected. What's going on here?
We have a recovery in sales in part from the hurricane. So you had sales slow in the south because of Hurricanes Harvey and Irma, and so there's a bounce back there. And generally, we're seeing improving demand for homes, you know, an improving economy, low mortgage rates, and so there are people out looking to buy.
And is that something that is a trend? Like, will we see that continue, or does it have to do with the hurricane or other more short-term factors?
No, I think we'll see sales continue to move higher. There's a lot of pent-up demand out there. A lot of people put off home purchases over the past few years as the economy has recovered from the recession. But I think that there is still solid underlying demand. One factor that's holding back sales is a lack of inventory. It's very low right now. But I would expect that as prices move higher, we'll see more homes on the market and stronger sales throughout 2018.
We're looking at a memo from the Chicago Fed today in which it says the National Economic Index is showing a strong rebound from the summer slump. The economy is doing well. The markets are doing well. What can you say about this?
You know, I think that the economic fundamentals are pretty solid. So we have solid job growth. We have rising wages, so that's pushing consumer spending forward. Housing market's in good shape. The international economy is doing well. And manufacturing is doing better with the slightly weaker dollar in the turnaround in energy production. So I think we have a good economy, and it's likely to be even a little bit stronger next year if we do get some tax cuts.
Do you have any worries? What could go wrong here?
Oh, there are lots of things that could go wrong. Obviously, I think the market is expecting tax cuts. So if we don't see those, we could see the stock market decline because investors will be disappointed. You know, there's certainly the potential for problems in the international economy. It's doing better now, but we could have some weakness there. And then and obviously, you know, we have a transition at the Federal Reserve. So a new Fed chair, hopefully Chairman Powell will do a good job. But, you know, it's a tricky situation for them, and it's compounded by the fact that we will have a new chair next year.
I have it's basically a two-part question. One, what sort of an impact do you think this latest data might have on interest rates? And as an economist looking at the wider economy, what do you think would be good to happen on interest rates? What do we need to have happen?
I think the data that we've been getting recently are supportive of a gradual increase in the Fed funds rate. So I would expect that the Fed will tighten at the end of this year, rate increases in 2018. That's a very gradual pace. It's a slower pace than what we've seen during previous expansions. I think that that's an indication that the economy is doing well. It also gives the Fed more flexibility on the downside. So if things start to go south next year in 2019, they do have some room to cut interest rates. And so I think that a gradual tightening in monetary policy, gradual increases in short-term rates is both a sign of good news for the economy and also gives the Fed more flexibility in case we do run into some issues down the road.
Great insight as always. Thanks for joining us, Gus. Gus Fauché, Chief Economist at PNC Financial Services in Pittsburgh. Coming up Friday, be sure to join us for a special edition of the Noon Business Hour. We'll share tips on helping you save money during the holiday shopping season on Black Friday. Just ahead, Bloomberg checks the markets.
WBBM News Time 12:25. Let's take a look at the numbers and also other business news sponsored by Lake Forest Sports Cars, the Ferrari specialist. Here's Elisa Peretti.
Well, Chris, right now the Dow is up 180 points or 0.75%. And for the first time in history, the Dow Jones Industrial Average has moved above 23,600. The NASDAQ is at 6,854, also a record with a gain of 65 points. S&P 500 for the first time ever right below 2,600. That's a gain of 17 points or 0.2%. The Bloomberg WBBM Chicago Index advancing 0.5%. Technology companies are contributing the most. Big names like Apple and Facebook are leading. For a second day, the makers of the tiniest chips are being especially helpful. Shares of the owner of Kay, Zales, and Jared chains, they are plunging the most in 25 years. Signet Jewelers has been struggling to recover from diamond swapping allegations last year, a sexual harassment scandal this year, as well as falling shopping mall traffic, and in recent months, of course, the hurricanes. Its sales fell more than expected. Now we've got a check of the grain markets with Pete Manhart at Bates Commodities in Normal. Pete?
We've had mixed prices here today. Corn's been up a half to down 2.25 at the moment. December unchanged, 3.45. March down a half at 3.56. Beans have been up 1 to down 3. At the moment, we have January down a quarter at 9.89¾, March down a half at $10.75, and wheat's been up 6 to down 2. At the moment, March wheat up 3.25 at 4.41¾. Mixed prices on light trade during this holiday week. This is Pete at Bates Commodities in Normal.
Thank you, Pete. With business at 25 and 55, live from Bloomberg, Elisa Parenti, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM.
This is Chicago's all-news station, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
WBBM News Time, 12:30. Good afternoon. I'm Cisco Cotto.
And I'm Chris Kreidel. These are the top stories on News Radio WBBM.
Stocks are higher today. We'll see what's lifting the markets.
Travel Tuesday. We find out if a cheap last-minute airfare still exists.
The restaurant industry is struggling to keep up with the onslaught of mobile orders.
And this afternoon is expected to be the start of an extremely heavy Thanksgiving travel week.
Longtime TV news anchor Charlie Rose is fired following allegations of sexual harassment of co-workers. The latest just ahead from CBS News.
On Wall Street, the Dow Industrial's up 180 points, the NASDAQ up 66, and the S&P 500 gaining 17.
Lots of clouds in Chicagoland, some lingering light rain showers. They're on the way out, though, and this afternoon we'll see the sun a little bit, but it's getting colder, heading down into the 30s. Right now, 42 degrees at 12:31.
CBS News special report. Charlie Rose, the subject of sexual misconduct allegations raised by eight women, has been fired by CBS News. He had been a co-host of CBS This Morning. On today's program, colleague Gail King spoke out before the firing.
To be very honest with you, I'm still trying to process all of this. I'm still trying to sort it out because this is not the man I know, but I'm also clearly on the side of the women who have been very hurt and very damaged by this.
The eight women's allegations that were detailed in the Washington Post include claims that Rose groped them and that he appeared naked before some of them. Rose, in a statement, apologized for his behavior. CBS's Anne Marie Green has more from a statement issued by CBS News President David Rhodes.
Despite Charlie's important journalistic contribution to our news division, there is absolutely nothing more important in this or any organization than ensuring a safe professional workplace, a supportive environment where people feel they can do their best work. We need to be such a place.
CBS News Special Report, I'm Dave Barrett.
WBBM News Time, 12:32. The Noon Business Hour is presented by the Village of Bedford Park and also sponsored by the Convenience Stores of Speedway.
We're seeing quite a rally on Wall Street today, and we're joined now by Mike Larson, Senior Analyst at WeissRatings.com in Jupiter, Florida. Welcome back to the Noon Business Hour. Mike, what are the markets reacting to today?
Sure, it's been quite a rally here. I was just looking at a story that, you know, we've passed the fourth round number milestone for the S&P 500 in a single year, 2,300, 2,400, 2,500, and earlier today, 2,600, where we're kind of trading right now. I think you've got a combination of a couple different things, economic growth, strong earnings, and I think, you know, we still have this policy coming out of Washington that regardless of exactly what type of tax package we get, it's likely to include some kind of, you know, giveaways for corporate America, and that certainly is something else that, you know, tends to support earnings and share price appreciation, regardless of what else you think about it. So, I mean, you look at the GDP forecast right now, the GDP Now model from the Atlanta Fed is looking at growth of about 3.4% in the fourth quarter. That would be the best fourth quarter we've had going back since 2013. So if anything, growth has been accelerating, and earnings are on track to grow about 7 or 8%, which is a pretty solid number for this kind of stock market, and I think it does tend to support the advance that we've seen.
So the fundamentals do support what we're seeing on Wall Street?
I think so. I mean, you know, I've been positive all year, really, since the end of 2016. I've been pretty optimistic about the market, given what I was seeing in terms of where we are in the economic cycle, where interest rates are, and what kind of earnings we're seeing from corporate America. And nothing I've seen yet really changes that. I mean, certainly we've gone a long way in a relatively short period of time, but I also don't sense that we're seeing a lot of that euphoric behavior that you see at the very end. I mean, it's not like when people were, you know, flipping houses like mad in 2005 or in 1999, you know, talking at cocktail parties about how much money they were making on dot-com stocks. There still seems to be a sort of steady plodding advance, more so than like some big, you know, huge move, you know, day after day and day in and day out.
Are there still some bargains? Any areas in which you think might be a good one to enter at this point in the rally?
You know, sure. In the newsletter and the services that I manage, I mean, we've been focused on things like insurance companies having a nice rebound after the hurricanes we dealt with. Some of the diversified industrial companies, 3M, for example, has been very good. And some of the chip stocks have had a heck of a rally, but I do tend to think we're still in an upcycle for that. So like a name like Texas Instruments has been pretty good to us. And it's still a company that's very highly rated by our Weiss rating system that I'm still positive on, even after the advance we've seen.
In general, you talked about how the fundamentals are pretty good. So in general, do you think this is an expensive market, right in line, maybe cheap overall? What do you think?
You know, I certainly wouldn't call it cheap, that's for sure. I mean, if there is one argument against a further market advance, it is valuations. We're trading at some pretty excessive valuations. But again, when you look at the alternatives, interest rates are still relatively low. In a rising growth environment, bonds don't make a lot of sense. The dollar has started to pick up a little bit based on the expectations U.S. growth will be strong. So that tends to hinder things like gold. So I think that stocks are still probably your best bet as long as you're focused on these names that have high ratings, you know, they're fundamentally sound. And I've also been a big fan of some of the higher yielding sectors of the market as well, some of these energy yielding names and even utilities, and they've done very well for us. So those are some names where the valuations might not be quite as high. You've got a lot of dividend support, and I think that's a good thing to have.
One of the stocks we're watching today is Lowe's. The sales top expectations, but the stock's still not being treated very well.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, I think some investors were looking for more of a hurricane rebound boost for that particular stock, and they didn't get it. The numbers were okay for this quarter, but there wasn't more of a boost going forward. So I think that's one of the hindrances there. And I think in the retail sector in general, not necessarily a Lowe's, but some of these other names, like DSW, the shoe company, and some of these apparel names, they've gotten beaten up because of the Amazon impact on retail. I mean, this really could turn out to be an Amazon-dominated holiday shopping season. And unfortunately, some of the weaker retailers that have been trying to kind of hang on by their fingernails are going to have a real problem going forward if that turns out to be the case.
All right, Mike, always good to have you on the program. Thanks for joining us. Mike Larson, Senior Analyst at WeissRatings.com in Jupiter, Florida. Ahead, Travel Tuesday, December could be a great time to go to the beach.
It's 60 Minutes of Financial Planning. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Travel Tuesday here on the Noon Business Hour this afternoon in search of a cheap last-minute airfare to help us locate some, if there are any. George Hobica, airline industry expert, founder of AirfareWatchdog.com. George, first question, is there such a thing as a last-minute fare, whether it's around the holidays or anywhere else? The planes are so packed now, can you get a cheap last-minute deal?
Well, Cisco, years ago, the airlines used to publish thousands of last-minute weekend deals where you had to leave on a Friday night or Saturday morning and then come back on Tuesday or Wednesday. And we're seeing a lot fewer of those these days. However, sometimes if you book a hotel plus air package, the airfare component doesn't have an advance purchase restriction. So sometimes buying the air in the hotel, even if you don't use the hotel, last minute is going to be cheaper than buying an advance purchase fare.
What about, you mentioned late Friday or Saturday. Are there still the odd hours where if you want a last minute deal, you can find one?
Yeah, there are odd hours and there are odd destinations. Sometimes we find fares to Asia, for example, that don't have a last minute, an advance purchase requirement. So the advance purchase is like 1 day or 0 days. You could just take off, and it's often cheaper than buying in advance. I don't know why the airlines do that, unless they're trying to fill the last few seats on the flights leaving very soon.
Well, yeah, and how many tickets are there really that that you could take advantage of now so close to the holiday?
Well, there aren't very many close to the holidays, but there are some for traveling just after the holidays and also just after New Year's. So we are seeing some incredibly low fares, Chris, from Chicago. I haven't seen them this low in a long time, actually. Denver, for example, is $39 round trip from O'Hare. Fort Lauderdale is $63 round trip from O'Hare. Miami is $63. Las Vegas is $65. Tampa is $67. Orlando is $67. Fort Myers is $67. I could go on. And those are on mostly on Frontier, which is, of course, is a kind of a more bare-bones airline. But United is matching with the basic economy fares with just a little bit more.
Yeah, and we see on the list here, Chicago to Miami, $63. Looks good.
Yeah, it's crazy.
And does that continue pretty much even through beyond Thanksgiving into December and January, or is that tougher because people want to get somewhere warm during that time of the year?
Yeah, actually, these fares, Cisco, are good just after New Year's as well until about mid-February when the school vacations kick in and increase the demand for traffic. And also, Southwest is offering some similar fares from Midway, Las Vegas, $80 round trip, Houston, $80 round trip, Atlanta, New York, all $80 round trip. So these are really amazing low fares. Just go just after Thanksgiving until December 15, and then you can fly from about January 4, 5 through February 15.
Thanks for joining us. Good information. George Hobica, airline industry expert, founder of AirfareWatchdog.com. Join us at this time tomorrow for Personal Finance Wednesday. Still to come, mobile orders are creating headaches for restaurant chains.
Your best stock option. This is the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
The explosion in mobile orders is creating a big challenge for restaurants. Let's find out more from RJ Hadavi, consumer equity strategist at Morningstar here in Chicago. What seems to be the problem, RJ?
Yeah, I mean, with mobile ordering, there's a lot of issues at play. One is that it falls outside of the spectrum of a lot of restaurants' core competency, which is obviously making food, making sure you've got enough work staff, you've got the operations in place to handle mobile orders is something that is easier said than done. And in fact, the most successful chains that we've seen roll out mobile ordering, such as Starbucks and Panera, really it's a culmination of a multi-year, really a 5 or 6 year process to make it work at this point. And even those companies still to this day have some challenges to work through.
So is anyone losing money on this?
I don't think anyone's losing money, but I think it still is very much a learning process. For a company like Starbucks, essentially, because effectively they're trying to serve two different audiences at the same time. On one hand, you have your your audience that really wants to get in, get out very quickly with a mobile order. But you still have your legacy customers that, you know, enjoy the aspect of sitting down and, you know, use Starbucks as effectively a place away from their home or office. And trying to balance between those two groups right now is something that's been a challenge, I think, for not only Starbucks but a lot of other operators, and making sure that, you know, everybody gets what they want out of the situation, which, you know, is frankly easier said than done.
Is the challenge for, whether it's Starbucks, McDonald's, or whomever, is the challenge that while customers are waiting in line, you know, you can be making some of their orders, but with a mobile order, you could have 50 or 75 orders come in immediately, right at the same time.
Yeah, that's exactly one of the issues, is that congestion runs in, and, you know, how those orders, you know, how they come in, which orders get placed first. You know, maybe that order that comes in through the mobile device is for somebody who's going to be coming in 10 minutes later, may end up getting in front of somebody who's actually waiting in the physical line. That's a real challenge, and I think that there's some technology solutions that can take care of it. There's a digital order mobile platform that Starbucks is using to better figure out the order, the workflow queue to do that. But ultimately, it's still very tricky to do, and you run the risk of upsetting your customer in the store, particularly if too many mobile platforms come in. Ultimately, I think what's going to end up happening with a lot of the restaurants that do mobile order, you know, they're going to reconfigure the spaces and use a separate area for mobile order pickup and, you know, and potentially even some additional workforce to make it happen, but also continue to have a workforce for those who are in the store. It's going to be a real challenge, and I think we're going to see some major changes at a lot of the restaurant chains in the years to come.
Well, let's add self-driving cars. Once that happens, that also makes the scene a little busier. Besides Starbucks, what are the other major restaurants involved here?
Yeah, right now I think it's those companies that tend to lend themselves to more frequent purchases. So most of the coffee players have some sort of established mobile app, and that would be Dunkin', McDonald's, and Panera. Those would probably be the leaders in the space. But we're seeing it across the entire quick service restaurant. You know, it's not only a way to potentially streamline the process over time as some of the restaurant companies work out the kinks here, but it's also a way to better market to your consumers and better reach them outside the restaurant. I think that's probably the biggest takeaway from investors. This is a great way to directly market to that consumer. Maybe, you know, that consumer doesn't have the same taste palette as another consumer, and you can do one-to-one marketing a lot better with the mobile app. And I think that's ultimately what we're trying to see with mobile order platforms that are out there.
And they're trying to build brand loyalty, right? Just getting people sucked into
Absolutely.
The app.
Yeah, it's all part of just maintaining the ecosystem. And as long as you can, you know, promote directly to that consumer, then they're probably more likely to continue to come back in. So it certainly is a way to build and foster brand loyalty.
Thanks for joining us today, and have a nice holiday. RJ Hottovy, consumer equity strategist at Morningstar here in Chicago. Be sure to join us Friday on the Noon Business Hour. We provide need-to-know info on surviving the holiday shopping season and Black Friday.
WBBM News Time, 12:55. We're wrapping up the Noon Business Hour with a check of Wall Street at Bloomberg. Here's Elisa Parenti.
Cisco, the gains are still here. The Dow up 180 points, pushing the benchmark to 23,611. NASDAQ gaining more than 1% or 70 points. S&P right now at 2,600. First time ever trading into that territory, gaining 18 points. The Bloomberg WBBM Chicago Index higher by 0.2%. Goldman Sachs has raised its 2018 target for the index, the S&P, to 2,850. The firm says investors can be reassured by the strength and durability of the current economic cycle. Crit Thomas, global market strategist at Touchstone Investment, says, though, stocks are due for a pullback. If it doesn't happen in the next few months, it certainly will happen over the next few years.
It's hard to get excited about the outlook over, say, the next 3 to 5 years, just because of the high valuations and high level in terms of margins, because that makes me question just how much can earnings grow.
Apple is the best performing blue chip, and it's also helping to lift the NASDAQ and S&P. Shares up 2%. An analyst says iPhone 10 production may have ramped up ahead of schedule, cutting wait times. With business at 25 and 55, live from Bloomberg, Elisa Parenti, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM.
WBBM and HD Chicago, WCFS FM and HD1 Elmwood Park, Chicago.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.